And so you may welcome them after the service. And they speak French, so they won't understand a word I'm saying. But God knows. God knows how to bless. So I'll say this, gloire à Dieu. That's glory to God. Gloire à Dieu. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The year just passed is a year of difficulties and trouble, not only for the nation, but for the world, but even for some of you personally. And yet, though it's been a difficult year, can anyone say amen? Even though it's been a difficult year, it doesn't matter because God has a plan. When God has a plan, it never fails. When God has a plan, it never fails. If God intends to do something, it always succeeds. And it's always on time. So, 2005 is finished. It's over. But 2006 will be a year not only of hope, but a year of finishing and restoration. So that what God has done in the past and you have endured, you must endure with joy. You must not become discouraged. There was a tough year last year for many people. But actually, you're wrong. It was a wonderful year. It was a year of suffering, of affliction, of difficulty, of trouble. Exactly what you need. Exactly what you need. God, in His wisdom, has not withheld His rod. And you prayed. I know you prayed. Oh God, let us be perfected. Very good. He did it. He's doing it. His whole reason to do that is very simple. Now, I want to read out of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, for this whole year. This will be a year of teaching on the kingdom. Everything will be about the king and his kingdom. You are part of God's kingdom. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he's talking about the Old Testament saints, let us lay aside, this is something you and I do, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily ensnare us. How many know that sin can easily ensnare us? It's easy, for example, to complain when things go wrong. What God requires is that we rejoice when things go wrong. Do not look at your husband, do not look at your children, do not look at the world, do not look at your health, do not look at anything in this world. Look at the Lord and rejoice because He created you, He redeemed you, and He cannot fail, He will not fail to bring forth a holy people. So you are wrong when you complain and gripe, even though you're right. What you're looking at, it's true. Something is wrong. It is not wrong. It's part of God's plan and purpose. Everything that the enemy does intends for evil, it will not happen. God will turn everything to your good. This is a year of hope. This is a year of hope. This is a year of rejoicing, and you have not learned your lesson yet. Now, 2005 is finished. 2006 can be a year of growth, restoration, and so on, unless you don't know how yet to rejoice in difficult times. How many have learned how to do it? Difficulties, très difficile, but the problem, it's not a problem, because God has a way of working through to bring forth His purpose. Now, He has never failed, ever, and He never will. So this is a year to rejoice in God's finishing of the work. Now, I want to use, since I have some guests here today, I want to use an illustration. Illustration. I'm going to use an illustration, comme ça, like this. What is that? That is a diamond. Diamant. centre, the center. Now, I will teach you something about making a diamond and cutting it exactly right. Like a pyramid, looking down on the top. Now, when God builds his kingdom, he builds it like a diamond. When he is building you, he is building you like a diamond. What does it mean? It's an analogy. I'm using an example. I'm using a type, a shadow. Whenever God buys a diamond, he buys it in the rough. How many know that you are purchased with a price? You are purchased with a price. You are bought in the rough. Do you understand that? Now, when he buys you in the rough, you are not finished. You are not completed. It's good to see you. That's all right. Did you drive in all the way from West Texas?
Yes, sir.
Yahoo! It's good. God is good. Now, when God purchases, he must go out into the bush where the diggers dig it. And when he purchases this diamond, it's never shaped like this. Anytime God buys you, purchases you, he sees something in you that no one else can see. Incredible value. Incredible. Incredible value. And when he sees this value, he purchases based on the value that it has, not only at present, but in the future. He has to buy just right. If he purchases too much, too small, then he makes a loss. So God pays the exact price for you. How many know that Jesus, when he came, he paid the full price for you? Let's imagine for a moment that this is God at the top. We'll put God at the top. God is the one that sets up his kingdom that you are to receive. This is you and me. Me and you. Moi et vous. Me and you. Moi et vous. Le Dieu, God, me and you. Now, in the middle is Christ. Christ is the one around which, to whom, everything in this world is shaped. Everything should be shaped. When you were purchased out of the world, you were purchased at a right price in order to build you into the likeness of Jesus. In other words, a stone that is rough must be cut. It must be polished. It must be set. It must be cleaned so that it's useful to the purchaser. Useful to the owner. Now, a diamond must be beautiful. It must reflect, so it has different facets to it. You see up here, I have made four facets. This is a traditional cut, not some of the more interesting ones that they do now, but it's a traditional cut where there are four facets to this diamond. And each facet is critical. It has a face to it to make the light reflect off of it so that you will be in the image and likeness of God. And the light should shine forth. Now, a diamond is always transparent if it's cut right. And the cutter must know his business. Because once he starts cutting, he must cut off all inclusions, all shade, any kind of grays in it, and so on. He must cut it to perfection so that it's transparent when it's finished. And we don't see you, but we see Jesus. We don't see you, but we see Jesus. So all the flesh has to be cut off. A lot of the stone will be wasted. Now, you know that working in diamonds, it's a difficult trade because the material is hard. Now, that's where the analogy breaks down, because I know that many of you are pliable and easy to work with, get along with very easily. But there is an obduracy and hardness to diamonds. In fact, nothing can cut a diamond except another diamond. It's very difficult. You can't just take sandpaper and so on. You must use the most the hardest thing in the world to break the hardest thing in the world. Isn't that interesting? It works perfectly. And so, God knows how to make a diamond out of people. Now, I'm going to give numbers to this and teach you something. All year long, I'll be teaching. Number one, God himself is the one that purchases it from the digger, from the natural, as you come naturally. He makes everything, he owns everything, he has everything, and he selects out or chooses that which is perfect. So I'm going to make the law here. Under the Old Testament law, the law is this, that God, who owns everything, is holy. He is holy. And therefore, no flesh can exist in his sight. So it must be cut off. This is where the cutting takes place, to remove anything that is not beautiful, anything that is not permanent, anything that is not transferable. When you buy a stone, it has to be sawable. In other words, you have to be able to saw it. And it has to be makeable. It has to be made into a perfect shape. So any buyer will look at that stone and he'll turn it different ways to say, how can I get the optimum value out of this stone? I turn it this way, I turn it this way. I must turn it exactly, then make my first cut. And these cuts will cut off everything that's of the flesh. That was the purpose of the Old Testament. The Jewish people understood that God wanted everything to be clean and perfect, no rough, no rough. The rough now has to have cuts, it has to be polished, it has to be set perfectly. So all of this is very difficult because the stone is hard. And when you find it in the bush, it's ugly. It does not look beautiful. But the right eyes can see in the stone what looks like common. They can see in the stone, oh, this stone can be cut perfectly, and I can get value out of this stone. This is your purpose in 2006, is that God is going to shape you, not talk about it, to shape you into his image and likeness so that you are beautiful, not just that you want to be, but you actually will have value. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, this value that God brings to you is by cutting this diamond and removing, then, all of the debris, all of the inclusions, all of the smokiness. So all kinds of removal and cutting off. So chips are cut off, all kinds of things are removed by the law. That was the whole purpose of the law, because Christ is the cornerstone. He is the one that we are looking for. When you see a stone and you cut it, you want everything to measure against this perfect stone. This is the foundation. This is what it means to be, we call it born again, regenerated. You take something rough that has a lot of flesh in it, and then you keep shaping it and cutting it and being rough with it until it comes out perfectly. How many know that this is you? This is a picture of you. That you are hard to work with, but when God gets through with you, there'll be nothing left of you. But God will bring forth something beautiful and powerful. It'll be nothing but Jesus. Now you have two people inside of you. One is you. Just say me. Okay? The you is the old you apart from God. That means there's no idea here. There's nothing to shape according to. It's just simply rough. But God takes that which is natural and produces something spiritual by putting his Holy Spirit in you. He has a design to make and bring out from you that which was naturally to be destroyed, to save, to salvage a remnant that is beautiful and precious and of high value. Do you understand? So the only way you can get to maturity, there's only one way. It has to come through suffering. Say, suffering. I will rejoice in suffering. I will not complain anymore. I will not be wise and smart anymore. What do I know? What do I know? Because I would think that when someone cuts me, This is a problem, but it's actually to beautify you. I would think when someone puts me under pressure, that's how diamonds are made, when someone puts me under pressure, that this is bad for me, but it's actually good for you. I would think when someone polishes me and rubs grit upon me, that hurts me, but it's actually the best thing that ever could happen to me. It's going to make me beautiful and transparent and shining. Amen? So when all the troubles come, only remember one thing. A lady called me up last night. She called on the phone. She was crying, then she was swearing because her husband was sitting in the room and they were having an argument and she was saying this, "You must leave. Get out. Do you understand these words? I do not want to be with you anymore. Go." Do you understand? This is, of course, not typical of our church, but this is one of our members. And I could tell by the tone of her voice that this woman was in trouble because this man was grating against her. He was sitting in the couch and he was smiling. She was swearing, he was smiling. And she was saying, he is right now, because you're on the phone, he is being decent. But when you hang up, he will be indecent. This is why I say, "Pastor, listen to me. I want him out. Can you talk to him?" Absolutely. So he gets on the phone. "Hello. Comment ça va? Ça va bien?" And very nice. "Hallelujah. 2005 was a rough year. 2006 will be very nice." This was at 11:30 last night. "Don't worry. You just have another half an hour. Everything will be fine." So, I'm speaking to the man and building him up, strengthening him. You are blessed by God. God loves you so much. You see, God has a plan to bring forth beauty in that which we find rough, ugly, not perfect. But God is the one that perfects, not wives. So after talking to me in her anger, in her rage, crying, telling me all of the problems that she had faced this year. Her sister died on her. Her brother died. The husband is a bum, and so on and so forth. After explaining all these things, she said, "Now, what do you have to say?" And what did I say? You know what I say, because I say always the same. I say, "You know, I don't think the husband is the problem. I think what God wants is to bless you. You may not know how blessed you are. This is a great year. God is giving you hope because he loves you and he sees how precious you are." Well, she didn't understand. She said, "Well, maybe I'm sinning a little." No, you're not. You're not sinning a little. You're doing fine. It's just that you forgot how beautiful God is and what he is doing to remake you and reshape you into his image so that you can praise him all the day long and not keep working on your husband who is unworkable. How many know that wives cannot change husbands? How many know that wives cannot change husbands? How many wives know that wives cannot change husbands? Husbands are obdurate, stubborn, strong. They do not like to be changed, especially from a helpmate who's helping too much helping. So a man, even if the wife is right, I see this inclusion in this diamond. I see an inclusion. That is a smoky area, or it's a foreign matter inside the stone that the cutter likes to cut off if he can so that it's flawless. But there are these little flaws in there, little bubbles sometimes smokiness and color, and so on. And they try to cut the stone to eliminate that. A wife thinks to herself, "I am strong enough to cut a diamond." No, the only thing that can cut a diamond is another diamond. Do you understand? It has to be another diamond blade that will cut that diamond. So God will not use flesh to clean up flesh. This is the problem of a wife attempting to clean up her husband. So in a few minutes, the woman said to me, she said, well, I know I've done wrong. Now she's talking about herself. I said, no, you are wrong. You are wrong about thinking you've done wrong. Don't worry about wrong. It's what God is doing, not what he did or what you're doing. It's what God is doing. And she said, oh, so what you're saying is I should praise the Lord and not be attacking my husband. We. Do not attack your husband. He is obdurate. He is stubborn. He is stiff-necked. He is unworkable. Let Jesus work on him. I mean, only the master can clean you up. Only the master can buy you at the right price, cut you in the right way, polish you perfectly, and then put you in a beautiful setting so that your value is enhanced immeasurably. That's where the profit comes, in making a rough into a polished, cleaned, beautiful stone. Now, what God wants to do this year is not talk about it, but do it. How many know we've talked about it? We talk, parley. Talk. But God wants to do the actual work, where the cutting takes place, and when you're cut, you go, hallelujah. When you're polished, hallelujah. And you don't look at the pain and the suffering, because Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. If you don't suffer, you are not beloved. Only those that are loved of God suffer. Did you hear me? You see, we are inclined to want to praise God when things go our way. That's why 2005 was a rough year. It was rough for the country, it was rough for the world, rough for the economy, rough for everybody, but I'll tell you what, it was a wonderful year. Because you need that cutting, and you need that polishing, and you need someone to set you where you belong, so that your beauty comes forth as God intended it. He must knock off everything that is not of Christ, everything that is not built on the original cornerstone, everything that doesn't fit on the foundation. Now, this year, I want to take the book of Esther, the book of Ezra, and the book of Nehemiah, which talks about four different kings. Now, I'm going to show you on these face of this diamond. This is just an illustration. But I want to show you something. You see, let us imagine that this was King Cyrus, the Persian, in 536 B.C. And then 16 years later, under Cyrus, the foundation was laid. But 16 years later, under Darius, another Persian, two kings in between, Darius, in 520 B.C., the house was built on the foundation. So I'll make a house here. Here's a house. Here's the foundation stone, the whole foundation of the house. And then a building is builded onto it so that you now have a huge thing called the house of God or the temple of God. Now, the word kingdom is actually kingdom. The dumb is domain, dominion. It means the king's house. Your domus is your house. Now, if you are brought into the kingdom of God, and it's a spiritual kingdom, there's where the value lies. As rough, there is no value. It's just rough. But when God cuts you, when he selects you, and then looks and examines you closely, and cuts you just right. How many know that God has a way of figuring out how to cut you just right? He turns you around this way and that way till he says, ah, I can get the most value if I cut her here, if I cut him here. How many know you have a spot in you that needs cutting off? And so God will figure out how to cut it in such a way to save the most value. Many times a cutter will cut the stone and will actually lose the value because he'll cut it wrong. And the only thing then left to do is with the wrong cut. He cut it, but it was just a... He'd take his hammer, and he hit it just right. Oh, but but then he ruins it and destroys it. This is the art of cutting. Then all he can do is make little clusters of small stones after that, because he destroyed the 7 carats. He destroyed the 10 carats, whatever it was, and he can no longer get the full value. Jesus Christ never cuts except to get all the value. There is no such thing as a miss with him. Even though you are difficult and you are hard, you are not the cutter. You do even not know where your value lies, because your value is not in the stone, but in the one that buys the stone, sees the stone, values the stone, knows how to cut it, how to polish it, how to set it, and how to sell it. The value is not in the stone. It must be added to. The value is not in the rock. The rock in the natural state has no value until man sees it, digs it up, sells it, buys it, polishes it, cuts it, until somebody knows how then to set it exactly right, and then the full value comes out. This is the kingdom of God. In God's house, he not only lays a foundation under Cyrus, he not only builds the building under Darius, a second king for his kingdom. This is all the types and shadows of the Old Testament. But in the third case, not only does he do it that way, but there's another king called Artaxerxes. Now, in the middle is another king called Ahasuerus, where Esther was the queen, but I'll tell that story later. But Artaxerxes, in the 7th year, the prophet Ezra comes forth, and he does not build anything on the foundation or in the house, but he fills the house with the law correctly interpreted. In other words, here's the law cutting off, but he does not allow the wrong interpretation where you destroy the good material, but he gives the gospel, the true interpretation. And so Ezra fills this house with the gospel, the good news, the correct interpretation to add value to this stone upon this house. He fills it with value. Then the last thing of all is the man whose name is Nehemiah. He is a prophet, but Nehemiah actually was a governor. And so Nehemiah is a political protection for that which belongs to the owner. In other words, this foundation with this house, with this gospel preaching, correct understanding, which makes us not just holy because we believe or holy because we're in the house of God, but actually walking in holiness, having holy character in us. This is where all of the abrasion takes place. This is where the difficulty takes place. To first of all lay the foundation, that was Jesus, to build the house, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring you in, and then to take you from a little child to a young man to a mature father, from a little child to a young girl to a mature mother, to take us all the way so that we become like Christ, the foundation, so that the whole house is one. Then God will build a wall around whatever is his to protect it. He will not protect the church today. Now, I'm going to say something prophetic. 2006, you're going to see many of the works of God fall apart. That which you thought was powerful and beautiful actually was not cut right. And because it has many inclusions in it and it has many flaws in it, it will be rejected and God will not build a wall around it and the world will take it. Did you hear what I just said? I'm telling you now, I'm telling you before it happens, that many of the great works today will crumble and fall because they will be destroyed by the world. And God will allow it to happen because he only protects that which is his. Now, what is his? If you ever went to a cutter's room, a jeweler, it would be a dirty little back room. It is not a nice place out in public where people walk in. It's way in the back. It's ugly. There's all kinds of dust all over the place and oil and whatnot and so on because of all the work that takes place in the cutting and in the polishing. So it's a dirty little room. I don't know if I could make an analogy, but it's kind of like us. I don't know if you understand that. Because when you do cutting and polishing, it is a dirty deal. It is something that people are, you know, they don't like it. So people are complaining, they're griping and so on. But we will be praising God Because we know that all that's being removed from us is number two. The law is cutting off the flesh, that which is not salvageable. How many know that Israel today is in the furnace? Israel today is in the furnace. She is being destroyed over and over. There is no wall of protection around Israel. America, des États-Unis, is not protecting Israel. We cannot. No one is protecting her. Europe is not protecting her. Africa is not protecting her. There is no protection. So she is vulnerable. She is open to attack, and she's being attacked. No matter what, how many walls she builds to protect herself, it's not God's wall. God will only put a wall around that which is His. If He sees a flaw, He will not put a wall around it. It does not belong to Him. It is cut off, rejected. That's why Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He was rejected. When we are rejected, when people do not accept us, not a problem. You are being shaped according to the goodness of God. God will only take that which has been rejected and make diamonds that are beautiful out of that which is cut off. Because the other eyes, the eyes of the world builders, is not as keen as the eyes of God, which sees value where other men see loss. You understand? You are blessed. Say it. I am blessed. Say it again. I am blessed. You know what makes you blessed? It's because God chose you from before the foundation of the world and said, I will make something beautiful. Now, anyone could be that blessed person. It isn't up to God. It's up to you. God has actually chosen every man in Christ. He has chosen, and all He's saying to you is, let me shape you according to the cornerstone, according to the center of this diamond. In other words, let me shape each face, the foundation, the house, the gospel, and finally the wall. Let me shape each part so that you all fit around the center, le centre, because the center is everything. That whenever you see a diamond and it's blurred at the top, it's a little bit broken, then you don't get quite the reflection that you should. But when it's perfect, each face is cut exactly. Then you see the glow, and you know that is like out of this world, not of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, do you feel the saw coming on your on part of you? Do you feel the abrasion? Just removing from you certain parts of your personality that are not beautiful. How many have a few of those? Inclusions, the grayness. You have a little grayness in you. Just a little bit, not too much. Just a little bit. Un petit. Not too much. How many have a little bit? No. How many are lying? You know. Because, look, we all have some aspects of our personality that we're not willing to give up, but God wants to cut it off, and He won't do it if you don't agree. He won't do it if you don't agree. If you say, no, I don't want to be cut there, don't cut me there, then He won't do it. You have to give Him permission to say, Lord, I want to be in your dump, in your kingdom, in your domain, in your domus, in your house. And if you come into my house, it's not just being built. Most Christians stop at number one. Let's just have a foundation and quit. Then you are not going to have the value. You see, it's not enough just to be born again. That's where the Baptist church is. Let's just get them born again. I'm not picking on them. I'm just using them as an illustration. That all they want is get born again. And every week you can go to a Baptist church, they're going to get you born again. How many here from a Baptist background, you know? That's what they focus on, is accept Jesus. Okay, fine. That's only one facet. You need some more cuts, and you need some more polishing. God never intended from the foundation of the world to just get you out of the world. He intended always to cut every facet, every face, until you're beautiful in all dimensions, in every way. Then, when you are perfected, when you are mature, when you are holy, inside and outside, spirit, that's the foundation. The soul, that's the house. The wall, that's the body. Spirit, soul, body. In every way, so that that diamond can be sold. Otherwise, it has no value. You could go back and see the stone partly cut, still has no value. Doesn't have any value until it's fully cut, then polished, then set, then sold. So God is working on us. You cannot help. You cannot help this process. All you can do is agree to it. Yes, Lord, whatever it takes. Now let's hear you say it. Now, God will use your wife, your husband, your children, your pastor, circumstances, health, finances. God will use everything until you learn to praise Him and say, you know, Lord, I know whatever's happening to me can't hurt me because I know You're a good God and You've given me hope and there's no possibility I'll fail. I know in Your care, once You purchased me, once You brought me out of the field from the digger, I knew that then You would make me profitable. You would improve my value. That's called value addition. You're adding value. It isn't the stone. It's Christ in you. You in you has no value. But Christ in you has real value. All the you has to be cut off. How many are feeling some of the you going? You feel like, oh, that's me. Yes, of course, that was you, but that's the part that has to be cut off and thrown away. So when people reject you, it's not a problem. You needed rejection. When people criticize you, they're very accurate. In fact, they only see part of the problem. You have four faces to cut. You are not just two-faced. You are not just three-faced. You are four-faced. So you have so many personalities that you've built up over the years through your parents, through your nationality, through all kinds of means where you invented yourself over and over, all has to be cut off until there's nothing left but Jesus. That is the standard by which every perfect diamond is measured. The right color, the right shape, the right shade, everything has to be perfect. The weight, everything. The size, the shape, everything. Until it is absolutely perfect in the sight of God, because you're going to be put in God's house. You've been purchased by God, and God is now shaping Israel. Shaping Israel and shaping us to fit together with Israel, because the final setting for the church is twofold. Gentiles and Jews together. This is the setting. God has a setting for this beautiful diamond in a ring with gold setting all around it. That gold is that the fact that the Jews come in by faith, we come in by faith, nobody can come in by works. Nobody can come in because you have an idea. It's not good. Only God knows how to cut you so that you only lose your flesh, but you keep the spirit. How many know that when we cut people, we cut everything? There's nothing left. When you do your cutting, ooh. Sorry, I just lost that one. And you take all the value out of marriage. You take all the value out of relationship. You take all the value out of the gift of God that you had, and then you took the value out because you're too critical. You're too critical. Oh, yes, you see something, and you see it so clearly. But what do you see? What do you know? The only thing you should see is Jesus. The only thing you should see is not what your brother or sister is doing wrong, what the world is doing wrong, even what you're doing wrong. The only thing you should see is Jesus. The hand of Jesus coming to cut. He can give hope to anybody. There is nobody beyond hope. Everybody is purchasable. Everybody is sellable. Everybody. You see, in the end, number five, I haven't got there yet. Number five at the bottom, me and you. Moi et vous. This is where the value lies. Did you realize that God is going to inherit you? This is God inheriting you, and you inherit God through Christ. He is number three. This is number four. This is the foundation. This is the house. This is you perfected in that house. This is the wall that God puts around that house. God is the owner of all things. He owns the rough. He owns the stuff that's thrown off. He owns all of it. But this is the only part that He takes out a remnant, a small portion that He sees. Here is the value when I put my print upon it, when I put my shape upon it, when I build everything around Christ, when I make these facets, these faces to shine and show forth the glory of God. Gloire à Dieu. This is the glory of God. And so you can see the shine. You can see the glow that God puts on this face. Because this diamond is to be something that the world can see and see Christ in you and not you. To say, you know, you're not just a Christian that has a foundation. You're not just a Christian that goes to church. You're a Christian that really, not just a talker, not a Christian that just simply wants to be good, but you're a Christian who's actually walking what you're talking. You're actually walking, apie. You're walking in such a way that even the world can see this is beautiful. When you see a perfect diamond, when you see something that's beautiful, even it can be small, but when you see it, the light shines off of it. The light is not you. Christ is the light. It's because of the way you're cut. It's because of the way you're cut. It's because of the polish. It's because of the cleaning. It's because of the setting. Everything that makes it enhanced, that is what God is in the business of doing, building His kingdom. Now, how many know that this year is going to be then another year just like last year, only the difference will be this time you're rejoicing? Because you know you're in the hands of the master. You are in the hands of the master buyer, the master seller, the master cutter, the master polisher, the master setter, the master seller. You are in the hands of one who knows how to bring forth the full value. Value that another man looking at the same stone, buying the same stone, cannot get out. The whole process is vital, critical. And that's why it is the hardest of all materials in the world is the diamond. Because it was put under tremendous pressure to create that stone. Tremendous pressure. You cannot come into the kingdom of God except by violence. You cannot grow and mature except through suffering and difficulty and trial and tribulation. But you're still looking for something wonderful rather than looking for cutting and suffering. The wonderful comes later. First, you have to go through a difficult process. Amen? Now, let's have a testimony of someone who's been through a difficulty this last year. Who said, Lord, take this away, but he didn't take it away, and now you learned that was good. I'm glad he didn't, because now I'm polished. Now I'm cut right. Now I have been benefited, even though I said, God, take care of this, and he didn't do it. Now I realize why he didn't do it. Who has a testimony? Who? Yes. Stand so we can hear. Yeah.
For the past year and a half, I've, you know, prayed for God to save my baby's father so that we could be together and everything would be perfect. And then he would just make everything peaceful so he'd stop fighting. It's been hell, or worse than hell, if that's possible, for a really long time. And he just wouldn't change him. Wouldn't change him for me.
No.
And it only drove me to God and made me run to him and get closer myself. And
Amen.
So that's what it was all for and still is for.
Amen. So you're being polished. You're being cut. It's good. And he's fine. Yeah. He's fine. Because God can take care of it in a moment when you're ready. You're not ready to be set yet, so therefore you don't need anything else. What you need now is sandpaper. What you need now is, you know, something difficult, troublous. But you're rejoicing in the midst of it because you're seeing the hand of God.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
Recently.
Woo! Amen. This is good. This is powerful. This powerful story. These are real life stories, but everybody here has a story. There's nobody here that isn't touched by God in some difficult way. Nobody. It's either your health, your wealth, your relationships. You know, there's something wrong in your life. In the world you have trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. All right, now I'm going to read the scripture. We'll have another testimony in a minute. But I want to read the scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, listen carefully. Therefore, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight, that's the cutting, that's the polishing, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, in other words, not being conformed to that original foundation stone, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto our husbands. Looking unto Pastor Jim. Looking unto our wives. Looking to our mothers. No. Looking unto Jesus, the author, that is the one that first buys us, and the finisher of our faith. The finisher is he that after 2006 is over, 1 year from now, we'll be rejoicing that we have been perfected because we did not gripe and complain when we were going through the trouble. 2006 can be the most glorious, can be, the most glorious year ever. It is not up to God. It is up to you. And all you have to say is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do it. Let's not talk about it any further. Let's do it. How many are ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ay, ay, ay. Do you know what you're praying? Okay. Because your trust is not in yourself. Because if you could get away, you would. Your trust is in God, who made the promise that I've never yet destroyed value. God will never lose one. Remember Jesus said, I have lost not one. That means every time he cuts, he doesn't lose anything. He increases, enhances the value. That is what God's kingdom is all about. It's not about being born again. That's where most churches are. It's not even about building the house so that you're in church. It's about walking the walk and being part of the kingdom so that someone sees a light that's not natural, a light that's not you, a light that's not rough, but a light that is smooth, that is so pure that someone can see another world in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If it doesn't come in this world, it won't come in the next. If it doesn't come in this world, it won't come in the next. Le prochain âge, no. It must be this present age. It must be now, maintenant. It must be now. You must be cut now, you must be polished now, you must be set now. You must be purchased now. You must see with the eyes of God that you are precious and blessed. Say it again, I am blessed. Only good things can happen to me. The bon chose. Only good works. Only that which is good is going to happen to you because you are blessed by God. He is the one that made you. He is the one that purchased you. He is the one that found you. He is the one that chose you. He is the one that selected you. He is the one that sold you then to the cutter. He is the one that sold you then to the polisher. He is the one that put you in the hands of the experts to destroy your flesh, to remnant, save out, that which is beautiful, good, everlasting. And it says in the advertisement, a diamond is forever. Why? Because it cannot be destroyed by anything human. That's what it's talking about. You are forever and ever and ever. You are God's diamonds in the rough, chosen, selected, found, purchased, paid full price, so that you could become made like unto him, according to his design. His design is always this design. He has no other designs. This is the simple, straightforward design. It has four parts to it. Why? Those four parts are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel. Always four in the Bible. Always. Always four. It means the gospel. And it also means the gospel going north, south, east, and west. The gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, going to the four corners of the world, that is the perfect setting for God's kingdom. He did not send his church into the world. Remember, in the Old Testament, there was no kingdom. David's kingdom failed. David's kingdom ended. Why? Because the people were not holy, because they did not want to be cut, they did not want to be polished, and they wanted to get out of the hands of the cutter. And that's what all the churches today are doing. I'm sorry to speak bluntly. But all the churches today are offering a way out of suffering so that you can be blessed in this world. No. The key to blessing is the cutting, is the polishing, is the difficulty, and you learn to praise God, not when things go well, but when things go terrible. Because now you're trusting God. Can God take a terrible situation and bring out good because no one else can? The reason the churches do that is because they would lose members otherwise, because they don't believe that God is good. Did you hear me? I just said something very strong. It's not meant to be criticism. It's meant to be accurate. I'm telling you something. The reason why they appeal to the flesh is because they know they don't have anything to say. Because they do not believe that the cutter will not hurt you. I believe the cutter could never hurt you. I believe you are so blessed that God could never change his mind. God will never change his mind about you. You are beyond measure valuable. And though you don't look like it today, when the cutter gets done and the polisher gets done and the setter gets done, you will be sold for a great price. In fact, you will be so precious that Jesus Christ himself, the bridegroom, will find you to be the one for whom he would give up everything to make you his wife. This is the kingdom. The kingdom was where the king and the queen lived together forever in the presence of Almighty God. God at the top, one, through Christ, three, has redeemed us, five. He has done all this work, two, three, and four, across the middle. He has done all this work of cutting and polishing and everything, only to perfect you, number five, so that he can now marry you forever and ever and ever. It'll be a corporate bride. In America, we just have one wife. And it's tough. But in Africa, my brother has four wives and 35 children. This is a lot. So you have to be a leader. You have to be a ruler. Anyone that can live with, because I'm having trouble with one. But God has wisdom. He knows how exactly to find. And then make the right price. And then turn it to the cutter. Then turn it to the polisher. Then turn it to the one that sets it exactly right. Jew and Gentile together. I'll tell you, you live in the greatest day because God is about to restore Israel to her, not former glory, but her original purpose. To her original purpose. Not to her former glory. What she had under David was nothing. It's a shadow. What she had under Solomon is nothing. 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 But what God has in mind to put us together, the Jew and Gentile, the nations together with Israel in this day, this no eye has ever seen. Because no one has seen the plan and purpose of God until these last days. So I declare to you as a prophet, I am a prophet, I declare to you as a prophet, 2006 is not only a year of hope, it's a year of great blessing for you. The children of God who belong to the kingdom of God. So we will look at these different facets. We will look at these different kings. We will look at Persia particularly. I've studied every day of Persia's life. I've studied it over and over with utter detail to know everything about these kings and all their fascinations and so on, to understand the things of God, that God is using the world to shape us around Jesus. God is actually employing the world, Persia, like Babylon, like Greece, like Rome, like Al-Qaeda. God is using the world, actually, to perfect us, his remnant. As he does that, the value will come to Persia and Greece and Rome. He isn't just using them, he will also salvage them and bring them also into the household of God. The world will not be saved by a church that refuses to go through the same suffering as the Savior. You must also endure. You must also trust that your Father, remember Jesus was not afraid when he suffered. He didn't say, Father, take this cup from me. He said, nevertheless, not what I want. I trust you that nothing negative will ever happen to me because I'm in the hands of a perfect owner. I'm in the hands of a master cutter. I'm in the hands of someone who sees my value and will bring it forth as a church, not individually, but as a church, eglise, total. Because God is bringing together his body, including the Jewish people that are the remnant of Israel, and the Gentiles, who are the remnant of the Gentiles, putting us together in a perfect setting so that the world may come to salvation. They will never come until they see your beauty. Today they see nothing. They see rough. Today they see nothing. They see rough. But the Father sees it. He made the promise. He can't change his mind. You will be beautified. You will be transparent. When it's all over, when it's finished, everything will come. And you will know, I'm glad I believed in God. I didn't complain along the way. I gave permission to God. Go, cut me. Now, let's have another testimony. Yes.
I complained all year. Horribly. And it's just been like the last week and a half that I've been totally crazy about it. Happy from the inside out. And I forgot where I was going with it. Anyway, I was happy from the inside out, and I realized that my circumstances have not changed one bit. In fact, they've gotten worse. But God is doing the work in me. And what you were just saying, it reminded me of the Lord just showed me last night. Hear, O daughter, consider, submit, consent to my instruction. Forget also your own people and your father's house. So will the king desire your beauty, because he is your Lord. Be submissive and reverence and honor him. But I know it's going to be a good year next year, and I will praise the Lord through everything.
Woo!
He is going to complete the work.
Glory! Hallelujah! It's good. Who else? Who else? You have to go through hell to get there, so you're going to have to trust God. Because he's the only one that can take you there. Otherwise, you have no hope. Yes.
I had a crazier physical. All sorts of physical problems. My leg was, it swelled up like the size of a tree. And it was infected and everything, and now I don't know what to say.
Did you praise God?
No, well, not at the time, but but now I do.
Yeah.
But so many things go wrong. I mean, last week, you know, I'm going to have to get bifocals. My eyes are going. But I just praise God because of what he does in here.
Yeah.
In the heart. It's,
in the heart.
I am surfeited with goodness.
Woohoo! Amen.
And surfeit means like an overwhelming supply.
Yeah.
More than you need.
More than you need.
So the Lord is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen. Amen. This is good. It's good. Praise God. That's good. Now, you would think that a man who fell 11 stories and survived wouldn't be difficult to work with. You are in the Guinness Book of Records. I mean, nobody has ever survived that severe and that far a fall. But here he is. And his problem is not the building. His problem is inside. His problem is inside. God is taking him even further to fall even further till there's nothing left. You see, you survived because God only saves the good. But he's now cutting you till there's nothing left and only Jesus. Aren't you happy now? Aren't you glad you fell? Yes. What? This is très intéressant. All right. Yes, Leslie Ann.
Well, as you know, I've had many.
That's on.
Many, many, many problems. But you know what? I just go around praising the Lord all the time, or I wouldn't be here.
Amen. Beaucoup de problèmes.
And he, I guess he's cutting me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get mad at me because I'm the way I am.
Mm.
But I want to get rid of what's wrong with me.
Amen. Sit.
And I know I can't be perfect.
Amen.
But I know that all things work together for good.
All.
To them who love the Lord.
It's you.
And are called to his purpose.
Amen. You are. You're called to his purpose. You are called to his purpose. Amen. James?
Well, this is not so much a testimony as a revelation I received this the other day. I think it just goes right along with this message. I was in a home, and in the foyer of this home is a staircase going up to the second story. It's a beautiful staircase. And I was standing there, and it reminded me of when I was in Santa Fe. This is Santa Fe, I don't know, probably 30 years ago. And there's in the mission there, there's this staircase that was built. I don't know how many people are familiar with that story, but this man mysteriously showed up and built this staircase and then mysteriously left. And he built it in without nails. It was just joined together. And I never can. And he was a master builder. Nobody knows who he was, but I don't remember the whole story. But it occurred to me that Jesus was a carpenter. And I never thought of the meaning of that, or if that just he was just the carpenter. But no, Jesus was the master builder, the master carpenter. And he brings us together. And where is Ephesians 4:16? It says, from whom the whole body being fitted and joined together. And he brings together, because a carpenter then didn't nail things together. Every joint had to be perfectly made, perfectly fitted. And that's what Jesus is doing now. He's building his house, the body, the church. And he's also doing that in each of our lives.
Amen.
Individually.
Yep.
Everything being joined and perfectly fitted together.
What kind of year are we going to have? Blessed. Why? Because you are precious in his sight. He doesn't see any junk. There is no junk diamond. Every diamond has some value. Even if it's small, it can be clustered. Even if it's small, it can be clustered if it's cut right. Everything has value. God sees value. God buys value. God only knows value. You are that value. You are that value. All right, God is good. You're going to have a good year? The best, ce meilleur. The best, the best. La crème de la crème, the top. Nothing could be better, because you're in the hands of God. En semaine de Dieu. You're in God's hand, and God knows how to bring value. This kingdom that we're part of did not start in the Old Testament. It started with Jesus, the King. When the king came, he built the kingdom. You are that kingdom. Israel will now be put together with us. We will be put together with them to finish it off. That is the last polish. That is the final polish for us. We haven't gotten to that stage yet, because a few of us are resisting. I think you know who you are. I think you know who you are. You have to agree to it. God, I'm ready. Je suis prêt. I am ready. I am ready. I am ready maintenant. I'm ready now. Do whatever you need to do. This will be the greatest year, because there is much more that you haven't seen yet. The best has been saved to the last. The best has been saved to the last. Don't you dare think that what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago was the best. That was the best at that time, setting it up for you to be included. Jesus didn't need that. That was for you. You are what he did that for. You are the best. You are the best. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we give you the praise, the glory, the honor for all that you are doing, that all that you have done, and for all that you plan yet to do with us, in us, through us, by us. And to God be the glory. Gloire à Dieu. And we give you the praise and we give you the honor in Jesus' holy name. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen and amen.